The question of origins is a competition between two fundamental theories, creation and evolution. Which one is correct? Learn about one of Satan's most deceptive traps, a trap that has ensnared higher education. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury. Last month, Key of David presenter Gerald Fleury commenced a series of two-night personal appearance campaigns in cities across North America. The first stop was Chicago. The following program is adapted from a lecture he gave to Philadelphia Trumpet News Magazine subscribers on the second night of that campaign.
We're very happy to be here. I've been up to Chicago many times, and Mr. Herbert Armstrong, of course, had a successful business here for a while. And then it was swept away, like three or four more businesses that he had, because he was quite a successful businessman for a while. And God had to humble him, like he sometimes has to humble all of us. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes. We all have to be humbled, right? I think we understand that. But I wanted to talk to you about a different subject tonight than last night. One that really is, I think, the most important subject perhaps that you could hear if you're just beginning, let's say, with God. And even if you're not, you need to understand the great beginning of God and His creation. You may have read this in the autobiography of Mr. Armstrong, but he talked about the time that he learned of the Sabbath day. And he learned it by his wife. She just happened to go over and see a neighbor lady, and the neighbor lady took the Bible and just read her scriptures about the Sabbath. And she didn't say anything. She just read the scriptures, and Mr. Armstrong was just absolutely stunned, because she said, well, that means we should keep the seventh-day Sabbath, or the Saturday Sabbath. And the lady said, I'm not going to say anything. You have the scriptures and you can do whatever you want to them. And she thought it was just wonderful. So she went home to her husband and told him about that. And of course, he being a very successful businessman, was alarmed by that and shocked, and said, look, this is crazy. You know that the Bible teaches that, and all the churches know that the Bible teaches that Sunday is the Sabbath. And she said, well, okay, if you show me that in the Bible, I'll keep that day. And he told her he wasn't going to have that in the house, but he found out that that didn't do any good. She didn't give up what she believed. And she said, he told her, he said, look, I'll make you a proposition. I've got a pretty good analytical mind, so I'll study into this, and I'll prove to you that Sunday is God's Sabbath. And that was back in, 1926. But I wanted to show you in the beginning, what is the Sabbath all about, and what should it do for you, and why is it so important? Because it is about the very first challenge that Mr. Armstrong had. Now, why would God challenge him to study and prove the Sabbath at the very beginning? There's a reason why God did that, and you, I'm sure, understand at least some of that. But in Isaiah 58 and verse 13, it says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the eternal, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Now that's what God wants for you if you're going to delight in the Sabbath. That's the way it has to be kept. And Mr. Armstrong had to learn that. It's not just keeping the Sabbath, it's how you keep it. Notice what it says there. You can't do your own pleasures, and you really have to delight in it and honor God. And you can't do your own ways, and you can't do your own pleasure, and you can't even speak your own words. Now, that doesn't mean it's a burden like some people make it. It's not a burden. It's the greatest blessing, that one of the greatest blessings that God has ever given to man. Then he said in verse 14, "Then shall you delight yourself in the eternal, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth." Do you believe that? Do we believe that? He said, look, you do that, and I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Notice Mark 2 and verse 27. If you have your Bible, I'll turn there. And he said unto them, "The Sabbath was made or created for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Now that, why was the Sabbath created for man? It was created for every man. And yet, if you talk about the Sabbath today, well, that can cause people to get angry even. And you have to have a trial sometimes, you have struggles. I can remember early, I came in the church when I was age 25, not too long after that, I really had a chance to get what I thought was a very good job in selling advertising. It was somewhat similar to what Mr. Armstrong did in his life before he was converted. But I went and I could tell, after I talked to the guy, I could tell, well, they'd already said, well, yeah, okay, we'll give you the job. And then at the very end, I just happened to think, well, maybe I better tell them about the Sabbath, because there were just 5 days' work as far as I knew. But sometimes they'd have special meetings and they wanted people to be there on Saturday. And I said, well, look, I cannot work on Saturday. And the executive just became angry. And he said, I wouldn't ever let religion interfere with my career. And so I didn't get the job. But that's okay. God blessed me in many other ways. And some people think, well, the Sabbath is a burden, but it's not a burden at all. It's refreshing, God says. It even refreshes God. He rested the seventh day and was refreshed. Now, he doesn't get tired, but he had a vision in his mind on the Sabbath that is truly astounding. And we need to understand that. When God says that this Sabbath ought to be a delight and he made it for you, you know God is love. That's what he is. And he made it for your good. He made it to help you. And it's totally different from every other day. Christ said his custom was to keep the Sabbath, Luke 4:16, Acts 17, verse 2 said Paul's manner was to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is one of the greatest blessings you will ever receive from God. But why did God challenge him, first of all, with the Sabbath? Why is it so important that God, I mean, that was the very first thing he challenged him with, as far as proving the Bible to be true. Why would he do that? Well, if you don't understand the Sabbath, you don't understand God's purpose on this earth, and you don't understand why man. On that creation week, I'll just read you what happened on those days. God, this is something that most people don't understand, and it points you back to the day of creation. The Sabbath does. Notice this. Day one, light appears on the earth. Day two, water is divided. That was really a recreation from Lucifer's rebellion, this part of it. Day three, dry land appears, vegetation created. Day four, sun, moon, and stars become visible. They were already there. Day five, sea life and birds created. Now God is creating something. Day six, land animals and man created. And notice, that's the sixth day. The seventh day, it says Sabbath, was made by rest. Immediately after God created man, he created the Sabbath for man. Now, it's really critical, and it takes you back to the week of creation. It's a memorial of creation. Now, I want to show you something that how Satan tries to combat that in this world, and he has been an amazing success. In verse 12, it says, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak you also unto the children of Israel, verse 13, saying, Verily my Sabbaths, plural, Now, there's the weekly Sabbath, and then you have the holy days. They're also Sabbaths. It's talking about the whole plan of God. The Sabbath, it starts it, and then we go through up to Passover and the days of unleavened bread and all that, and I'll show you that a little later, just very briefly. But he says, you shall keep my Sabbaths. It's a command from God, and it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Eternal that does sanctify you. God is the Creator. And I want to show you just a little later that, well, everything began with that creation as far as man is concerned. God is Creator of all things. It all began with God creating man and all of these other things that happened on the first day of time, of the week for man. You shall keep the Sabbath day, therefore it is holy unto you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, it puts us to death spiritually and sometimes even physically, frankly, because Israel went into captivity a number of times because they broke the Sabbath. Why was God so upset about the Sabbath? Because if you get off there, you're going to lose everything spiritually if you don't change courses. You've got to get this beginning. This is a great beginning of man, the great beginning. And I want to show you how Mr. Armstrong was also challenged on Satan's great beginning of, well, not only the beginning of man, but the beginning of the universe and this earth and everything, really. I want to talk to you about the other side of this. Now, I want to talk to you about, now this is the great beginning of man. And this is the great plan of God for man. So you know Satan has to come up with something to combat that. After all, he's God of this world. At the same time God challenged Mr. Armstrong on the Sabbath, he challenged him on evolution, the theory of evolution. Same time, he was studying both of them. And his own family told him he was ignorant to even consider God creating man and the universe and everything that is. But you see, the people that created the theory of evolution were atheists and agnostics. And here they tell you, these brilliant men tell you, they say, well, you're just ignorant if you have faith in God. And here they believe in a theory. I mean, you can prove this very easily. College students learn a little bit and they think, well, it's right. But they don't get into it with any depth at all. And they get deceived. But look, if the student accepts it, and most of them do, now they are smart enough to know that, well, let's see now, if we can't believe Genesis 1 and that 7-day creation week, well, you can't believe the Bible. See, again, that's what evolution does. It says, why, you weren't created by God. This all started with a Big Bang theory or something like some crazy theory like that that started from nothing. Now, that's what they tell you. You talk about faith. You really have to have a dumb faith to believe that it began from nothing. How many things do you know began from nothing? You know about the law of biogenesis, where life comes only from life? Now, it is really ridiculous. David said anybody that didn't believe in God was a fool. And it's true. It's true. But Mr. Armstrong said, well, you know something? I haven't even proved the Bible. I've believed it. But I haven't proven it to myself. And then he thought about evolution. He said, well, I don't believe that, but I haven't proved that either. So he set out to prove both of those at the same time because the great God wanted him to see why he was on this earth, or he couldn't teach anybody anything that was of any value. And his wife challenged him, and she played a key role in bringing him into this understanding, because if she hadn't been strong, well, then I don't know, God would have had to work on him in another way. But if you're a Sabbath keeper, I just have to tell you this now, if you're a Sabbath keeper, you cannot believe in evolution. That's pretty obvious, I think. But it is true. But religious people today say, well, they do believe evolution, and God used evolution to create man. Well, now, wait a minute. If you go to Genesis 1, there's the creation week. God says, this is what I did. In one day, I created man and a lot of animals along with it. One day. God can't do that. They reasoned in their minds. But let me tell you, that theory of evolution has become Satan's most powerful modern weapon. You just look at the surveys, and we send our children to college, and most of them, they say, believe in God when they get there. But when they get out, they don't. And what's wrong with education that teaches you that? If that isn't deadly wrong, well, what can be wrong if that's not wrong? But you see, the God wants you to understand Him, who He is. He is the creator. And He's not, I mean, the physical creation is just the first part and the most, let's say, the less significant of the two. His purpose is to create for Himself a family. Remember I mentioned last night about this Ezekiel 1 God that it talks about there, and He's flying around on His vehicle like flashes of lightning. And on the top of that vehicle is someone who has the appearance of a man. I think that's phenomenal. And I think, well, let's see now. How could... if we're going to become God, if you try to include the rest of the Bible and you say, well, we're going to become God, I guess we'll have to evolve into that too. It's just crazy. It makes no sense. But the beautiful truth of God does. But you have to study. You have to look into these things and make sure that you know what it's all about. But anyhow, Mr. Armstrong looked into this, and he said, and he took it to family members and others, and he said, I've chopped down the trunk of the tree of the theory of evolution. And he had. And you can read about it in his autobiography. I hope you'll look at it more closely, because there's a lot of profound truth there. It's the biggest book that we have. It's really two books in one. And if you don't have a copy, please ask for it and request it, and we'll certainly send it to you. But look, the atheists, you see, they came along with this theory. And it says, well, this is how creation happened without God. Creation didn't happen without God. See, that's what they want. That's what they're trying to get you to believe. You know, I don't know how much you know about colleges, but if you're universities, you go into those colleges and universities, and you start talking about creation and God, and they're going to probably laugh you out of the room or the whole college. It's the way it is in this world. And yet, it is a theory of evolution. But they just say, well, now it's fact, even though they call it a theory. You may know that, like, for example, they say we evolved from birds or crocodiles or whatever, or monkeys or whatever. And you know that they've never found one fossil of half man and half crocodile, half man and half bird. However, whatever avenue you take, they've never found a fossil of man evolving. Never. And yet they believe it as if it's something that God did or said. That is remarkable. That's the power of the devil in this world. And how grateful we ought to be that we know this great God. And the higher education is just very much deceived today. And the students go in there and they hear a little bit about evolution. They don't hear classes about God, and almost all of them, you won't hear that. But they hear a little bit about evolution and say, well, yeah, that sounds right to me. Even Mr. Armstrong, when he first got started, he said, wow, this does sound good. But he got into it, he said, it's a farce. It's a farce. You can easily prove that, but we ought to know that. We ought to prove that, and then you've really got a foundation to build on. And things begin to happen that bring excitement into your life and really, when you get right down to it, to maybe this college student had only, the only proof he had of God was creation. And then he goes to college and they destroy that, and he comes out an atheist or an agnostic, and probably pretty rebellious. Because, well, if you don't believe in God, we would all do crazy things, I suppose. Here's what happens. The scientist says this, if you want to get kind of get into the depth of evolution. The scientist says, well, look, you can't, anything miraculous or supernatural is scientifically impossible. And we don't accept anything like that. And oh, did you also know that that means they'd have to reject the Holy Spirit? Well, that we can't believe in anything like that. It is through the Holy Spirit that God saves us. You see, Satan is really subtle. This comes from the mind of the devil, not from human beings. We have to understand that Satan is the God of this world, and he's a master at deceiving people. But you've got to get to see the truth of God and see through all that. And believe me, I'm not just telling you that. You can do it in your life, and you need to do it to really understand what God is doing and how God wants to reach you. And what could be greater than the opportunity to come be called before Christ gets here in a little group of people that is going to be the bride of Jesus Christ. All the first fruits throughout the ages, most of them in the New Testament time. But when you go, you're a student and you go into college, it destroys your faith, and they don't have much faith. Before we get into what God teaches us, I didn't have any faith to speak of. God has to give you his faith. It's not just believing in Christ, it's having the very faith of Christ in you. That's what Galatians 2 and verse 20 says. Now that is a powerful faith. That's a powerful faith that we all need. And God, you see, God watches those students have their what potential, their human potential they understood. They see it destroyed. Man, you can't believe in miracles, though. No, you can't believe in miracles. Let me tell you, God performs miracles all the time. And throughout your life, he will, if you look to him. But we do need God's Holy Spirit. God uses that to shape and mold us. Remember, he is the potter and we are the clay. So that powerful weapon Satan uses and deceives the whole world. He's very good at that. But you see, let me just read you an amazing paragraph here that Mr. Armstrong wrote that I thought was so good I wanted to read it to you. It's just a short paragraph. He said, actually, this is simply the study into the two possibilities of origins, creation of God and the theory of evolution. They're both about origins. If you get the origins wrong, everything is wrong. If your premise is wrong, everything that follows is wrong. That's what it really means. So we're talking about origins. Well, if you get that all wrong, everything's wrong. If you get that right, well, then you're on the path and everything begins to really just build and grow. And the depth of the riches of Christ, Paul said, you just keep getting more and more into the mind of God and understanding your Father. But anyhow, he said, it threw me directly into an in-depth research of what is perhaps the most basic of all knowledge, the very starting point in the acquisition of knowledge, the search for the correct concept through which to view all facts. Now, you take the theory of evolution, you look through that, and you view everything through that prism, that view. You view everything from that. Now, if you get this God creation week foundation, you view everything through that. And it makes your whole world totally different and more wonderful than men can even imagine. So there are, I'll just read you another little quote here. The two subjects, or rather the two sides of the same subject of origin, should be unprejudicially and objectively studied together, yet seldom are. And so that's what God had Mr. Armstrong do, study them together. The two origins, there in one is a phony baloney, if ever there was one. But the creation of God is the most, that creation week is the most astounding beginning in all the Bible. God created man. And just to know that you look like God and your features tells you God has something really spectacular that he's creating. No animal can understand God. Do you know why? Because there's a spirit in man. Well, scientists don't believe that. There's no spirit in man. If you don't have the spirit of man, you can't connect with the Holy Spirit. Try converting a dog. You can't do it. God didn't create them to be converted. They're just animals. That's all. And they're not even the angels. If you remember that incredible human potential Mr. Armstrong wrote, if you've read that, if you haven't, you really would be inspired by doing so. But we have this potential to have the very mind and character of God. And that's what we're here on this earth to have. And how are you going to sit there sharing the throne of Jesus Christ if you don't have character and you don't have the mind of God? See, that's what we have to get now. And as we proclaim God's message, if you will become a part of that, you will put God first in your life by doing it. But you better know where that message is. And then when you find it, you better get behind it with all your being. Because God does tell the prophet in Ezekiel 33, he says, look, if you don't proclaim this message and this revelation that you have, then their blood is going to be on your head. You're going to be guilty of their death because you didn't warn them from me, from my mouth, he says. So we do have that responsibility, but that's the greatest honor we could possibly have, and I think that you understand that.
Request our free booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath, to discover the remarkable purpose for the Sabbath day. You will also receive our reprint article, The Fraud of Evolution. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.